Open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, please. I want us to think this morning about the new and living way. Hebrews chapter 10, let's read verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Today, as we live in the world and practice a religion that's called Christianity, we understand that we are guided by what we've come to call the New Covenant. We have our Bibles divided into the Old Covenant, our Testament, and the New Testament. And today, as we consider living for the Lord, we understand that he uses the power of the Holy Spirit as a witness and as a guide, and that as he cleanses us from our sins, we can have confidence that our sins are forgiven and that God will remember them no more. More than anything else, our lesson today deals expressly with the forgiveness of sins and having ourselves washed and purged from the consequences of our sins, both in God's eyes and in our eyes. How that God, through Christ, has put away our sin forever. The Bible tells us in verse 18 that where there is remission, there is no more offering. And Paul is simply teaching us that since all of our sins have been remitted by the great offering of Christ, by the work of Christ, then there'll be no more offerings. There'll be no more animal sacrifices. There'll be no more human sacrifice. It was once and for all, that is, once and for all time, that Christ died on the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, then he opened a way to God, a way to forgiveness of sin, a way by which we may come near to God, that we may approach God. And it is referred to here as the new and living way. Let's read verse 20 again. By a new and living way. And this word new means to become new, to make new. Doesn't have in it the idea of something that has existed and then after a while is reintroduced. But this is literally a new way, and it has life. Zoa, the same word we get zoology from. It is living in that the way is Christ. Notice, by which or in which he hath consecrated for us. And the word consecrate means to inaugurate, to start. Jesus Christ is the new and living way, and Jesus Christ dedicated or inaugurated and opened for us this way. He is the forerunner of our faith. He has approached God in God's presence ahead of us. and open for us this new and living way. And this new and living way is through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The word veil here has in it the idea of an opening, that which covers or hangs, and therefore which outlines the opening. And we understand that in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle and in the temple, there were veils that separated from the holy place and the most holy place, or the holiest of holies. When Christ died on the cross, there was a literal rending of this veil to signify that what he had done had opened the way. And the Bible tells us that Christ's flesh is the veil or manner of entrance into this new and living way. That Christ by his flesh, and that literally means the outward man, has equipped and established, inaugurated, and is the forerunner and the author of this new and living way. It is his flesh. Brother Pogue this morning read what Jesus said about his flesh. And he said, if we will not eat his flesh and drink his blood, then we cannot go to God the Father. And this simply means that unless we appropriate his life, unless we appropriate his perfection, unless we appropriate his offering as our offering to God, then we cannot enter into God's presence because we have nothing to offer. When we come to God, we must have something to offer God. He is a God who requires offering and sacrifice. So when we come to God, what offering can we make? What sacrifice can we offer God? We can offer him the sacrifice of Christ. We can offer to him the blood of Christ. We can offer him the body of Christ. This is what Jesus meant. When we come to God, we must say to God, I come offering the body of Jesus. I come offering the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's that way. The flesh of Christ, that is the new and living way. And because it is new and because it is living, the Bible tells us that it is God's way into the holiest. Let's go back to verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The word boldness means the speaking of all that one thinks, freedom or frankness of speaking, fearless candor. By the flesh of Christ, by what he did and accomplished when he died on the cross and then entered into that holiest of holy places and offered his own blood, the Bible tells us that he opened this new and living way, and that it is not a way of shame. It is not a way of labor. It is not a way by which we have authority to beg and plead with God to open the way just a little so we can squeeze in. The Bible tells us that this new and living way gives us boldness. It gives us freedom. It gives us candor and truthfulness so that we can come into the presence of God bearing with us the offering of Christ and speak freely everything that's on our mind, to tell God our needs, to tell God how we love him, to ask God for his help. This new and living way that was accomplished by Christ when he offered his flesh to God and his blood upon the holiest of holies at that mercy seat, it accomplished for us an openness And the Bible tells us that we can come freely into the presence of God with boldness and enter into the very presence of God in a bold fashion. A cheerful confidence. Free access to the sanctuary. But without His blood, God will not accept us, and therefore it's important for us to have His flesh as our offering. Now you understand that all of this is metaphorical, that it is pictorial, that it is symbolic. The blood of Christ was literal. The flesh of Christ was literal. But we're talking about by faith taking what Christ did for us and boldly proclaiming our faith to God and having access to God. And the Bible tells us that in the new and living way, we can draw near to God. In the Old Testament, people were at a distance from God. There was the high priest through whom they must come. There was the other priests who daily ministered in the sanctuary through whom they must come. In other words, in order to draw or to approach God and to attempt to draw near to God, they had to take an animal, perhaps a sparrow if they were very poor people, and they had to bring it to the priest, and then the priest took it to the altars and offered it, and then the high priest once a year offered blood. And so there was a distance between the offerer and God Almighty. But in the new and living way, we are invited to draw near unto God. Notice, and having therefore, brethren, boldness by the blood to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and having an high priest over the house of God. And this word over means in authority and in action. We have a high priest over the house of God. The house of God is what? It's this church right here. It's every New Testament church that exists in the world. We have a high priest in authority over this congregation. We have a high priest in authority over this congregation and in action over this congregation. We have someone working on our behalf as a congregation. We have someone working on our behalf as an individual. He is our go-between. He is our high priest. He is our advocate. These are words that describe His action and His authority. This morning, what we're doing here is a congregation. I believe that Jesus Christ, as an high priest over the house of God, over this house of God, which is not the building but the people over this house of God, that God's Son, His dear Son, Jesus Christ, is as a high priest now, this very moment, offering our prayers and offering our petitions and offering our singing and all that we do from the heart. God's Son is offering that to Almighty God today. And that sort of highlights what I said earlier, that we believe it's a serious business to come into church capacity as a house of God, where God's Spirit dwells and where Christ works as a high priest over us, ministering to us and to God the Father. This is not fun and games. This is a critical, serious business. And we're to be involved in it with a pure heart. Paul said, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." We can come to God. We can be brought into God's presence. We can approach God. But God wants us to approach God with a true heart. And that heart is to be one that has its very intention based upon truth. And I think the reason that that statement is used, draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, it implies that people sometimes come to God without a pure motive. They approach God on the basis of some subtle attempt to delude God. You know, sometimes when things go badly for us, we get the idea that God is not pleased with us. And so in order to get God to look upon us with pleasure and blessing, we would like to use words to con God into doing what we want done. And I suppose we've had enough experience conning one another. We've had enough experience manipulating others and having others manipulate us until perhaps we have the idea that Almighty God can be manipulated with words and with action. But God does not accept that which is offered unless it be offered with a true heart. And we can be assured that God knows our hearts. God knows our motivation. God knows whether we love Him or not. God knows whether we're just trying to con Him. God knows whether we're just trying to manipulate Him. God knows all of this, and God despises the manipulative heart. God despises the con game heart. God despises the circus barker who tries to sway God with words and fair speeches. The new and living way is a way of truth. We cannot come into God's presence by uttering that which is untrue, with a heart designed to manipulate. We must come to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Perfect certitude. To bring in full measure, to complete an act, firmly persuaded that what we are doing is the truth and who we're going to exist and the way we're doing it is found in the Word of God. With hearts, honest hearts, and with unqualified assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Now we get into more figurative language that described activities of the Old Testament that cleansed people so they could then approach God. They sprinkled with water. They sprinkled with blood, they washed with water, they washed with water mixed in blood as ceremonial things that would ceremonially clean the outside of a person so they could then approach God and be involved in service to God. So we are to come and we're to come with pure hearts, having them cleansed from evil and having our consciences pure because they have been cleansed from evil and having our bodies washed with pure water. Again, this is figurative language and it has in it the idea of being cleansed so that we may approach God in a way that God will welcome us and be pleased with us. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, Paul wrote, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." I think this involves baptism, but I think it involves more than baptism. I think it means that daily and hourly we're cleansed continually by the Spirit and by the Word and work of Almighty God. Whenever Jesus washed the feet of Simon Peter, Simon Peter said, I don't want you to do that, Lord. I forbid it. And Jesus said, if I don't do it, you'll have no partner lot with me. And then Peter said, Well, if that's true, then just wash me all over. And Jesus said, you don't need to be washed all over. You just need to have your feet washed because you've been contaminated by walking in this sinful world. But you're washed. You are already washed. That's symbolic. It means that we have been cleansed by a spiritual act of Almighty God. He that is washed, Jesus said, needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. That is, totally clean. We're clean. How? Well, notice what Paul said to the Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, notice, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's the word of God. You know what we're doing this morning? As you sit and as we study the word of God, as we look at the word of God, and as we think on the word of God, we're being cleansed and washed so that we can come to God with pure hearts, washed, having our hearts sprinkled and having our consciences purified and washed and cleansed. How? By the word of God, by the Spirit of God. Washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Paul used a similar expression in Titus 3:5 when he wrote, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. This is something that David wanted. Although David didn't have the same system of worship that we have, he lived under the old covenant, yet he realized the necessity of being cleansed. He realized the necessity of being washed. In verse 2, and this psalm was written on the occasion when Nathan the prophet came to David and revealed to him that he knew of his affair with Bathsheba. When David became conscious of how this act of adultery, fornication, had soiled his heart and soiled his conscience so that he felt guilty and condemned in God's presence, the Bible tells us that David wrote this psalm. And he said in verse 2 of the psalm, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and my sin. Wash me, cleanse me. David is saying, I don't feel good. My conscience hurts. My soul is in agony and I feel disturbed and distressed. And I don't feel right toward God nor my loved one. And I want to be clean from this act that I have committed. In verse 7 he said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What was David praying for? He was praying for God to wash him, that he could be cleansed from his sin. David didn't have the kind of access to God that we had. He was not a person who knew and was familiar with the new and living way. Christ hadn't come. Christ hadn't died. And so, to an extent, David suffered the consequence of his sins over a much longer period of time, not having the full assurance of faith that God had completely forgiven him. But we have a new and living way. And we can come to God with our hearts pure, our consciences pure. Why? Because we've confessed our sins to God. And we come pleading Christ's work and not ours. We come pleading the blood of Christ and not rituals and ceremonies. Therefore, let us come boldly, speak plainly, confidently, that this new way that Christ has established is in every aspect complete and total and effective. Our musicians will come forward this morning. As they come, will you stand with me together? And as we stand together, let me remind you that Christ is received by faith. It is by faith that Christ is received. For by grace are you saved through faith. What do we mean by faith? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It means that there's a new and living way to God. A new and living way to sins forgiven and conscience cleaned and purged. And that new and living way is Jesus. And so you, by faith, receive and accept the finished work that He did. Put yourself under it. Consciously submit yourself to it. Consciously yield yourself to Him. And in this act of believing and exercising faith in all that there is available in this new and living way can become yours. So we ask you this morning to trust Christ, to believe in Christ, to enter into this new and living way. Jesus said, I am the way, hodos, just the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Would you come by way of the cross? Would you come to God by Christ as we sing this hymn of invitation?